Good evening, good evening. I'd like to bring the December 6, 2021 meeting to order. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everybody that's online with us on Zoom. And for those that are in the audience tonight, it is wonderful for you to join in with us. So thank you. Tonight's invocation of Pledge of Allegiance is by Commissioner Ron Roberts.
Those bound, please. Our Father, we thank you. This is the season for giving thanks for all the blessings that you have blessed us through this year. And in advance, Jesus, I'd like to thank you in advance to help us through 2022. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
They moved the flag on. They should have sent the last meeting. It was right. So at this time, we'll take roll call. If those commissioners were all present, but so you can hear our lovely voices, when I call your name, please say present. Commissioner Adkins.
Present.
Commissioner Wesson.
Present.
Commissioner Trent.
Present.
Commissioner Robertson.
Present.
And I'm Chair Lee for just a few more minutes, and I am present. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to our county manager, Mr. Vaughn, to hold our chair election.
Thank you, Shirley. Board of Commissioners, Ritchie County staff, and public with us in person and virtually, good evening. My name is Juan Vaughn II. As Shirley stated, I'm county manager, and I will preside over the election of chair and vice chair of Ritchie County Board of Commissioners for 2022. This process will be completed in accordance with North Carolina General Statute 153A39, which reads, on the first Monday in December of each even number year and its first regular meeting in December of each odd number year, the Board of Commissioners shall choose one of its members as chairman for the ensuing year, unless the chairman is elected as such by the people or otherwise designated by law. The board shall also at that time choose a vice chairman to act in the absence or disability of the chairman. If the chairman and the vice chairman are both absent from a meeting of the board, the members present may choose a temporary chairman. The chairman is the presiding officer of the Board of Commissioners. Unless excused by rule of the board, the presiding officer has a duty to vote on any question before the board. Once the new chairman and vice chairman have been appointed tonight, we will have a brief recess so that the board members may switch chairs and so that nameplates can be reorganized. So commissioners, before the nominations are presented, if you would state your name so that everyone is aware who's making the nomination. Okay. At this time, the floor is open for nominations for chair of the Ritchie County Board of Commissioners for 2020.
County manager, this is Ron Wesson, commissioner. I'd like to nominate Mr. John Trent as chairman for the upcoming year.
I'll second that. This is Commissioner Lee.
Commissioner John Trent has been nominated, and there has been a second. Are there any more nominations on the floor? Are there any more nominations on the floor? Doesn't look like there are any, but we will still go ahead, just for record's sake, and take a vote. Clearly, Commissioner Trent is the only person nominated, but I will call each commissioner's name and have you to vote for Commissioner Trent. Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Commissioner Trent?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Wesson?
Yes.
And Commissioner Adkins?
Yes.
Congratulations, Chair Trent.
Thank you. Thank you.
At this time, the floor is open for nominations for Vice Chair of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners for 2022.
I make a nomination for Ms. Ron Wesson to be Vice Chair.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Wesson has been nominated and there has been a second. Are there any other nominations for Vice Chair?
Mr. Manager, I move that the nominations be closed at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Robertson. Again, I will take a vote on Commissioner Wesson as Vice Chair of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners for 2022. Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Commissioner Trent?
Yes.
Commissioner Lake?
Yes.
Commissioner Wesson?
Yes.
And Commissioner Atkins?
Yes.
Congratulations, Vice Chair Wesson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll take a 5-minute recess.
You can only buy.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the December 6, 2021 Berkshire County Board of Commissioners meeting. We're going to start out with a 3-minute comment. We're going to start with comments from commissioners. Mr. Brian Robinson.
I'll say I'd like to wish everybody a very happy and very Merry Christmas and please be safe.
Start off by saying, Chairlady, thank you very much for everything you've done this year. Getting meetings going, work sessions, working really hard. I think we've all seen that. And Tim, thank you for what you've done for you.
Yeah, I would like to thank Chairman Lee as well, Chairman, for, yeah, makes us get a lot of play during a very, very tough year. So thank you, Chairlady, for your great work. But I'm looking forward to this new year. I think this is an opportunity for us as we hopefully move out of the pandemic. I pray we do that. And we have a lot of other things on our plate that I think I'm looking forward to us tackling head on. Thank you.
All right. Thank this week. Great job you've done this past year. Very optimistic about the upcoming year. We have a lot of good things happening to the board and No real step in the public. If you'd like to.
So, yes, it's been a great year. And I'd just like to say thank you to the four gentlemen that I sit up here with. They've been great support. And I also want to say a huge thank you to our county manager. He may be a little wet behind the ears, as the old saying goes, but he's done a fantastic job for us, and he's been a huge support for me this past year. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I do look forward. We are a great working board. We've gotten a lot accomplished, and I look forward to the upcoming year. So thank you.
Okay, that's all the comments. Can't manage everything.
Congratulations to our new chair and vice chair. And Chair Lee, it was a pleasure serving with you, being manager, as your chair. And I look forward to upcoming.
Okay, now we're going to get on the public. Thank you,
everybody. May I please approach
you? Yes, you can.
Thank you. I first have to say congratulations to Chairman Trent and, of course, to Commissioner Wesson. For this conversation, I understand about 3 minutes, so if I rush through, I'm sure that the capable county manager will capture my comments for you to read later. For this conversation, or rather public comment, I would like to suspend the technical definition of an emerging market and say that my comments takes into consideration where we live and traditional local markets that drive our local economy. I put forth the belief that begs for attention. We have a huge emerging creative market in the community that is untapped and overlooked with enormous potential for local economic growth. to include home-based business enterprises, consultants, musicians, singers, performers, writers, artisans, the culinary arts, people working 9-to-5 jobs with other part-time business enterprises that impacts their quality of life. In other words, they are, everybody has a part-time gig or hustle or interest that, if addressed intentionally by this county, will have an enormous impact on the county's budget, poverty rates, and overall quality of life. Before I sit down, I want to share some statistics and respectfully request to be on the agenda for the February 7th, 22 commissioners meeting. The arts and economic growth, $919.7 billion is what the arts and economic growth contributed to the economy in 2019. It is a 76.9% growth in the GDP contribution that they made from 1998 to 2019. An export powerhouse, the U.S. arts and culture sector runs a trade surplus of $32.7 billion that has generally been growing since 2004. Some of the industries that take up the creative market would be things like jewelry making, movies and TV shows, art-related activities to include software, hardware, games, photo processing, art goods, and of course, the entertainment industry, which is film, TV, and billboard as well. The total arts and culture prediction is predicted to continue to grow. There is, the arts make up $584.5 billion annually, nearly half of the creative economy. And I cannot stress that enough. And I'm gonna keep moving this forward because I think I'm coming near to, and I'm gonna be good tonight. I'm not gonna mess up. But I just wanna say to all of you, you know my passion has always been grassroots. Where can we make the biggest difference in the lives of everyday people who are trying to make ends meet? And I am convinced, if you've been following any of my postings on my Facebook page over the last couple of weeks, that the missing link in small rural towns and communities is that we have not intentionally taken a look at small entrepreneurial enterprises that people are just hustling every single day in order to put food on their table and to provide for their families. Because if we intentionally look at that and galvanize support behind it and look at the micro generation of resources that adds to our bottom line at the county, we're going to be amazed. Many of them are not looking to make an additional $1 million a month, you guys, okay? And I know you guys deal in millions. You have to meet the needs of the county. But many of them are just trying to supplement at $5 to $1,000 or $200 a month, just enough to continue to provide for their families and move them out of, quote unquote, what's defined as poverty. So I would love to come back, and I've already spoken to the county manager. I really want to come back in February, February the 7th meeting, to have a real conversation, and I can provide you with what I would like, my ask from all of you, so that you won't be guessing about what my teachers are. Thank you for this time, and congratulations again.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Sean, are there any more public comments?
No public comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is going to be line item two. It's going to be emergency medical services, non-emergency transfer, financial update by Mr. Dave Peters, election software.
While he's passing that out, I will take this opportunity to tell you that I was in Decatur, Georgia last week and got to visit the new Black Wall Street market. And all these young entrepreneurs
and artisans.
Yes, it was great. It was, and they had all kinds of different fairs that they either made or were selling, and it was just absolutely great. They took an old Target and turned it into the market. They had done a phenomenal job with everything. Mm-hmm. It was great. Definitely worth a trip. I'm sorry.
No problem.
You're the best. Go ahead.
I'm ready. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm Mr. Turner. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before the board again and to give you a brief reporting on how we're doing with EMS billing and revenue generation over the past 12 months since the last time we were here, and also to answer some questions on some changes that have been going on in the Medicaid program, which obviously this board has been interested in over the last few years during our meeting. A couple of things I wanted to point out here in the handout that I did prepare. I did meet with the county finance manager, the county manager before this meeting to kind of give them a briefing and make sure that we covered all the board's questions. On page two, I always like to give a historical record of what we've done. This is since Colleton Software has taken over the MS billing for the county. The most glaring thing, obviously, is with 2020 and 2021 is the number of calls run, and obviously that's due to COVID. We see that not just in Bernie County, but across the board on the non-emergent side as people just aren't using non-emergent services as they have in the past. We have seen an uptick, however, over the last 6 to 8 months as it's become a little bit more under control in certain areas. But through 2020 and into 2021, we did see a down slope on the non-emergent, not just in Berkeley County, but throughout the whole part of northeastern North Carolina.
Dave, can I step in here real quick? We look at the 2015, which was the year we started non-emergency, correct?
Correct, yes, sir.
Numbers transferred from $288,000 a year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. The following year, 2016, we're $759,290 non-emergency, correct?
Correct.
And that's collected funds, correct?
That's money in the bank, yes.
Okay, sir. Money in the bank. 2017 with $813,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
2018, $884,313. That's correct.
Correct.
2019, $963,151. 2020, we drop off to $525,000. Okay?
Correct.
That tells you the aspects of what COVID has done. Two, because non-emergency transport is the business that we depend on for cash flow coming in. And I have to say that it trumped us pretty good.
That's actual revenue loss that we can claim it for our ARPA fund. Yes.
And that was the only one item when they looked at the total picture.
Gotcha.
Also, to follow up on that point, in 2019, we ran the county conducted 3,724 calls. In 2020 calendar year, we conducted 2,475. So we're talking about almost a 33% reduction in the call volume there. Basically, from what happened here in Berkeley County as the pandemic started in March and April and into May, and we saw it also 911 in a lot of areas. If people weren't seriously injured and had to go, they just didn't go. I know you look at the number of non-transported calls that Colleton as a company had, and it was astounding. Across the board, and again, we operate in five different states, we were probably down 25% on 911 calls, and then probably close to 40% during those first 90 to 120 days, almost 40% on non-emergence. If you had to go to Dallas, as you went, but anything else, if people just didn't want to go anywhere, if you remember those first few days of the pandemic. Again, we had the second wave or third wave or whatever number it was this year, particularly over the late summer, but we've seen the call volume here in the county pick up over the last few months, and it's really starting to get back. We're going to be ahead of where we were last year when this year ends. So that's exciting. The revenue was, when you don't run the calls, the revenue's just not there. If we look at it on a per call basis of what we collected, we're probably within $5 or $10 of what we collected on every call on the non-emergent side. So, this year has picked up and it's been better, but it is something we've seen not just here in Berkeley County, but also in other counties in the area, as well as the true non-emergent clients.
Another question I have, or for a second I'd like to make also, we've moved from a typical call non-emergent was being paid how much from Medicaid, Medicare, whatever.
From your previous vendor?
Yeah, well, no, from the government.
I'll skip ahead to that if you don't mind then, let's skip to page on the pro. On page number nine, I know that this is being a big question. I know Commissioner Trent and I've had some other conversations about the Medicaid. Traditionally, North Carolina Medicaid paid $70 per call, regardless of where you took the patient. It was a $70 transport. If you had a patient that had to go back to Raleigh-Durham, it was $70. That's what they paid you. Then they'd pay you $3.03 per mile once you crossed the Tuan or on the Martin County border. So it was $70 per call and $3 per mile beforehand. On page 8, you see with Bertie County, now I highlight on page 8, now Bertie County is receiving $1,073.91 for each call they run. How they came up with this number, we haven't really got it clear. I list a few here. The highest in North Carolina is Hyde County, which was $2,700, and the lowest was Wake County, which I think was about $300. Most of them were in the $500 to $700 range. Bertie County was $1,073.91.
So we go back to our original call volume. What we did, say, hypothetically, 2019, we had 963,000 calls. That would probably equivalent out to...
Last year on page 9, last year we were in 422 calls that were Medicaid. Those calls paid at $123.59 per call for a total of $47,000. This year through probably mid-October, the last calls have been paid, the payment side. So for the first 3 months of the year, roughly, we've seen 88 calls, and those calls have paid $984.05 per call. So we went from $123 per call to $984 per call. If we do the same volume that we ran last year, we're looking somewhere between $325,000 and $350,000 increase in Medicaid payments to the county. That, along with additional call volume that Director Cooper and his staff are bringing as non-emergency building back up, should put us back in that $900,000 range as we move forward.
With less calls.
With less calls.
Okay, and then when the call volume picks back up,
we should be ahead.
We should be well into over 1.4, 1.5.
I'd love to see that, absolutely. The only caveat with this Medicaid program, and this is something we've been working with hospitals and with DSS on, the program, as you're aware, in the state of North Carolina, there's 5 regions in the state, 4 that cover the various from the west coast, from the west mountains all the way to the east coast, and then one that overlaps, which is government employees. And the person on Medicare, a patient on Medicaid, a patient that is on Medicaid has to choose which program they want to be on. If they fail to choose a program, it goes back under the old system. So it's incumbent upon the counties. That's not just for EMS service. That's their doctor visit. That's their prescription plans, everything. So it's obviously their best interest to go on the plan that pays best for the individual patient. And, of course, that would pay us more versus the old thing. So it's on DSS, Department of Social Services, hospitals, doctor's offices. Everybody wants these people enrolled into the new program. Statewide, it's about 65 to 70% have been enrolled now.
Tell us a little bit more about the data. Do you have any percentages on where we are as a county?
I haven't seen a breakdown. I'm sure we could find the information from the Department of Social Services. But it's doing well to get to move to that area. And we've seen it. I can tell you on the first 88 calls that we ran this year, 85 of them were in the new plan. So if that continues, I'll be ecstatic. So that's 90%, 95% are under the new plan, which means the county's being reimbursed at a higher rate.
County manager, if you could research that into DSS and find out how we're looking as far as people signing up and get that down, because
I'll see if I can find something else that'll make that information available to the county manager. But for that aspect, the good news is the county is being fairly compensated by the Medicaid system for the services we're running. It's difficult from Director Cooper's standpoint to be compensated $70 to take a patient to Chapel Hill or to Wake Med or to a better facility, and you're not even covering your gas cost at $70. So this allows him to do that, and I know we've had this conversation for 2 or 3 years. I know Commissioner Trent, I think you actually spoke to the state legislator one time, your local legislator here, to try to work in this program. The program should have been implemented a couple of years ago, but with COVID, it was held back and it went live. We found out like 2 weeks before that it was going live on July 1st. And then, of course, my staff worked with Director Cooper's staff to get the contract signed, to get everything in with the So I do have to commend Director Cooper and his staff for getting that information. I mean, we were literally dropping off contracts and saying, you get these signed by the county manager today so you won't miss any money. And we did a great job here in the county of getting everything signed up with all the various companies.
So you don't know why each county is different?
I've heard it related to the Medicaid Coster program, that they use the formula they used off of that in the past. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of it had to do based on current facilities in the county and the number of positions available, as well as the current medical staff, and then the distance it normally goes between hospitals.
I mean, an ambulance here and an ambulance in Wake County is the same cost.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. No.
The salary is not that big of a difference.
The number of health facilities.
We're at 730 square miles.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is to remind the general public and also the board commissioners, percentage breakup as far as people that would be on Medicaid here in Berkeley County versus the rest of the state.
Right. And here you're running about 16 to 18%. I don't know if that's what percentage is on Medicaid, but in the transport we do about 16 to 18% is Medicaid. Around 50% is Medicare under that program. And then the rest would either be private patients, they're paying it themselves out of pocket, or they have a private insurance company.
I think you had said at one time the average of Berkeley County's large amount of people that through the DSS or Medicaid services were somewhere in Berkeley County was about 28% or something like that. And the state was running around 8%.
At one time, I'm just thinking of the college doing it. Yeah. Obviously, the more rural areas and based on the demographics and economics of the area, you will run different. If you look at it last year, the number of calls the county ran and what percentage of those were Medicaid, it was about 18-20% somewhere in that range last year. Of course, some of that can change also. As a company, Colleton doesn't finish billing for a full year. So we may send something out and say, you have a bill and say, I have Medicaid. So those numbers could change and go up. So it is a significant number of people here in the county.
Chair Turner, I don't know what the number is precisely for Washington region. I can tell you now, 5 county cost, the East Commission, we do have the largest percentage. That would include Bertie, Hertford, Pitt, Martin, and there's one more fact, but we clearly have a high percentage.
And that's a good thing.
The key thing is we want to be able to provide the patient care that we need here in the county. That's absolutely the number one. And we look at it the same way when we work with the citizens of Bladen County. I'm sorry, the citizens of Bertie County. On a daily basis, my staff, and they go through training to know that this is compassionate care and to work with them. The one thing that we don't want the patients or the citizens here in the county is not to call for service when they need it. So we're going to work with them, whether they're a Medicaid patient or Medicare patient, or whether they're a private pay and need help paying their bills. We'll do anything we can to make sure that. That works. The last thing any of us want is for someone, obviously I can relate today, someone having chest pains and they don't call 911 because, I took 911 last year and I'm still paying my bill. So we want to work with the citizens, and we always do. If they can, we'll work with Director Cooper's staff to come up with a payment plan, we'll look for additional payments options for them, as well as different sources. So the number one thing is provide quality care for Director Cooper's and his staff. And then our aspect of that is to make sure they're treated with professionalism and courtesy. And we don't want to be a burden. We want to make sure that they can pay their bills and move forward.
And I have to say, the surrounding area of Berkeley County is one of the leading 911 systems as far as when it comes down to pyramid of care. I think Martin has them, I think Kirkford has paramedics. These are the things that we offer, the county don't offer. And of course, it has to come with cost.
Also a client of ours. We work with Carney Hedgepath, the EMS director down there, and Brian Albright, the county manager. The only thing we can think of is when we saw that number, we were surprised too, is remember that county goes all the way out to Bath at Bellhaven. And I'm thinking the distance there and the number of calls that kind of, both of those communities are very elderly. and they have a lot of calls in proportion to the population. They have a higher proportion of calls based on the population area than a lot of other areas.
There must be something else that we're missing that because Orange County has the highest percentage of senior citizens than anyone in the region. And Boulder County, even though they have been spread out. There must be something else in that.
I think they also look at the investment put into the program over the last few years. They look at your infrastructure. Obviously, you all have a new facility for EMS here in the county. They look at the number of people that went through additional training, promotions in-house, those that went from basics to intermediates to full paramedics. I think they take all that into consideration. I haven't seen a formula. I would love to know. I have customers that are all the way from $400 to $2,700 in trying to explain, you know, why are they getting 27 and I'm only getting four. It's a I thought Bertie got a great number when you saw it. I was ecstatic for it. The other thing to also mention on this that Colleton put the initiative on as a company, normally y'all pay a strict commission fee on that to us for the services we render. As a company, we didn't think it's fair because we weren't doing any more work than we've done it beforehand, but the rates have gone up in your case almost ninefold. So we're charging a flat fee for any Medicaid call we get. We charge $11, which is about a 1.5%. So it's more money going back to the county. We just thought that was a fair thing to do. Since I said we're not working any harder, actually it's a little easier now because you're going directly through the portals. And so we did an addendum to the contract where we charge a flat fee versus that percentage. So those 900 calls, which would be $60 a call and pass for now 11. So that anything we could do to help the county.
So we're seeing what Medicaid is paying. What does Medicare pay?
Medicare went up 3.5% on October 1st. The last time we came before the commissioners to ask for a rate increase, we did that into consideration. So we asked for a rate that would handle another increase of 3.5%. We did go through on October. My staff went through on October 1st and did a rate review, and we're exactly where we want to be to make sure that we don't overburden the population with outrageous fees, but we don't leave money on the table to the insurance companies or to Medicare. So we're right where we need to be right now. We'll look at, they'll come out again in March 1st with another rate increase or decrease or adjustment. And we'll take a look again on March 1st to see if we're where we need to be.
Now, these new prices weren't effective July, correct?
July 1st. Okay. And we retroacted everything back to July 1st. So.
Okay. How long does it usually takes us to get reimbursed by the feds?
Medicare's paying on about a 12 to 15 day payment cycle from the time we submit the call. So if the EMS staff here ran a call on December 1st, it went through their quality control process to make sure everything was corrected and met their medical declarations as well as their protocols. It comes to us. We have it out usually in 24 hours, guaranteed out. 48 hours, it'll be out maybe the 4th or the 5th, and you receive it by the 20th.
How much money do we got sitting outstanding right now?
Yes, sir, I do. On AR right now, they're on the 911 side, there's $249,000, and on the net side, $201,000. Some of that's current, and some of that is past, you know, co-pays or whatever. So it's about $450,000 from the past year still out there. And we always work the last 12 months. It's a 76% collection rate. I'm not a big fan of collection because, you know, so there's lies in their statistics. 76%, we like to be above 70 with our clients. I think there's a little bit of room for improvement here. As you mentioned, I have been out on medical leave for the last few months, but over the last few days, I have spoken with everybody that works with everybody from the billing to the manager to the non-emergent paperwork director to the posting people to see if there's anything out there. And one thing I'd really encourage the board to consider, right now, I know there's a shortage of people here in the county as far as EMTs, and Director Cooper's having a challenge staffing positions. I think there's other positions now, if I'm not mistaken. One thing that I think would be a big benefit to the county would pay dividends is a staffing of a person dedicated to administrative billing in-house that would be our sole contact for that item. I believe they're on.
Well, I think they're doing this here full out if they need it on the truck thing.
Yeah. I thought Shannon Williams was that person.
I believe she is. I believe that's the name that I was told. Yeah. But I believe she's also being pulled out continuously to make up for when we have shortages. Yeah. Well, that's something I would encourage the county to look at. Right now, we do have some calls in the system that have been submitted to us, but we haven't received paperwork for it yet. And that's always a challenge. This goes back to the pre-approval process that we've discussed a few times.
And this is good that Mr. Bill, one question about
money that's passed due, this is billing that has gone out.
Yes.
Insurance companies, Medicaid, Medicare, and private health care, correct?
Correct.
That we have not been reimbursed.
Correct.
Who do we have on your end that's falling up behind this?
I have a complete department of pending. We call it the pending department, and that's what they do. If it's been submitted for payments, and it's 30, let's say Medicare, and it's 30 days, Medicare should be making payments in 30 days. They're on the phone with Medicare. They're on the phone with Blue Cross Blue Shield. The one thing, again, this is from dates of service, so sometimes it does take a lag in there. The other thing that we're running into with private insurance companies, and again, I can tell you this firsthand, private insurance companies, the majority of those people are still working remotely, and private insurance is running on about a 60 to 90 day period right now for payment.
60 to 90 days
in some cases. It's really, it's frustrating. And remember, if a patient had Medicare to start with, and we did the Medicare payment, there's a $500 bill and Medicare paid $300, but they have a Blue Cross Blue Shield supplemental policy. We can't submit for Blue Cross Blue Shield until we get paid by Medicare. So it could be three or four. So there's still money to come in from last year. There's about $45,000 to $50,000 I counted coming from last year, plus what we still have out there from this year.
But the bottom line is, what is in terms of the write-off piece of the not getting compensated? Has that number increased at all?
It's gone down. It's gone down. I know I'm working with, I have a gentleman in my office who is strictly, that's all he does is paperwork for our non-emergent clients to make sure that everything is correct. And he has regularly scheduled meetings with the staff here, with the EMS staff, and they go over paperwork. You know, this particular patient needs this, or we need a history, or we need a doctor's orders or a physician certification statement. And he's, I would estimate the last 12 months, he's, I know you're sitting on some of the meetings, probably like 15, 20 times he's been on site here working with the staff to get this cleared up. So it has come down some, but there's still some more to be done there.
Let me put this in there real quick. Cost of doing business for 90 days, okay? And you have to build into that 90-day cycle also.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see some numbers come back to me as far as what the cost of doing business for that 90-day cycle is, how much the collection was for that 90-day cycle is. So simple math, so I can subtract out so the percentage return on investment is.
Okay. Internally, the numbers I wouldn't know, that would be something
that I understand. But
I can give you what your revenue numbers would be.
Okay, I understand, but that is something that we need to look at, because when it doesn't meet don't meet collections, and we got a certain cost factor out there. If we don't meet the collections, that money's going to come from somewhere.
Right.
Pay the bills, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's what I'm interested in.
And we want a true cost factor. I mean, it should be separated, non-emergency and emergency, and we want a cost factor.
Now, if you want to break it up on 120 days, make it a quarter, I don't care. It makes no difference to me. But I want to see what the return on investment is on top of the quarter.
One thing, let me just point to, and I think that's a wonderful exercise for us to go through to report that information back. If you look on the bottom of page 7, and this is when I started my presentation, if you look down the very bottom of the, this is our net revenues for the calendar year 2021, so the last 3 months. Look at what we've been in September, October, and November. Those are the three best months of the year, and that goes back to that saying we've seen an increase in call volume. So in September of 21, we collected $75,000 for net proceeds. Also in October, on the non-emergent side, went to 55, and it was 53 when I did this in November. I don't have the final number for November. We haven't closed the books yet. But you can see those numbers are increasing. So the key with any revenue numbers in our industry obviously comes down to call volume. It's as you know, with your business, it's a numbers game.
That's my comprehension of all this is that we have a cost of doing business.
Absolutely.
Okay. We have amount of collections that we get. Okay. I want to see this collection versus the amount of cost of doing business and see what the offset is.
I will send to the county manager and to Director Cooper within a week. I will have him a breakdown of by quarter for the last 2 years so you can look at it that way.
Well, I'd like to find one out, see where the return on investment is.
I'll have that information
to you. Investment in this thing. Okay. And we're going to make sure what we're doing here.
Absolutely.
Because the money's going to come from somewhere we're not collecting, right?
We're collecting what's being billed.
I understand.
Yeah.
But depending on if it's running 90 days for us to get, I understand it's rolling over this, that, and the other. But I want to make sure what we got coming out
absolutely.
120 days is all set when we got going out.
Right. And
I was just saying, you know, my concern is that you know, the 20 and 21 number is so low that those people may not come back and start using our services, and so it remains low.
But you're always
going to be getting
over,
more money from Medicaid. That's just small percentage of our overall.
It's putting a band aid on.
Yeah.
I understand. And again, I go back, the key, and you know, whether it's a private company we deal with or a county, where it's a county that just does 911, the key is call volume. I mean, it's not what it is. I mean, if you put this many at the top, this much is going to come out of the bottom. I guess that's what you're asking, Commissioner Trent. Yeah, you know, how much are we putting in to get that money to come out of the bottom? And you know, when you go from 3724 to 2475, that's a, you know, that's 1300, and you're averaging, yeah, you know, that there's your 250,000 right there. So,
well, it was a blessing this past year and a half because we were able to use our staff to do vaccination clinics and all that good stuff.
Right.
But you know, we can't,
But you understand the value.
Absolutely. Right? It's okay. The same way we conduct our business. You know, what goes to the top, what comes out the bottom.
And again, get back to, I'm supposed to cheer.
That's all right.
No, I'm good. Commissioner Lee, getting back to it, any company that's been shut down or slowed down, to start back up is going to be difficult. It's right. Like jumping a truck off that the battery's dead. Put the battery cables up, it may take you 30 minutes for this thing to get charged up. By jumping it off, that's exactly what we got to do here. This thing cranking again.
And then when you call volume back, we're going to have to be a profit line. So
exactly.
I'll have that information to the county.
And we've got a customer list. We need to start calling some people this side and the other.
And that leads to two things. First of all, we need to make sure that we're able to track the progression of that's the collection percentage. So we know clearly what we're going on.
Right.
And I know you provide those numbers, right?
Every month we send them by the best of the county.
Good. I want to make sure that you not only send it to the MS, but you also send it to the county, so the commissioners can go on. We'd like to see those numbers.
Are you on that list? I'll make sure you are.
Yeah. But we want to see those numbers, I think, Chair, on a monthly basis. Another thing is there any cyclical nature to receivables, you know, that are due us? Like when we close our books, right, at the end of the year, is there a cyclical nature where certain, you know, segments of the year are carrying more debt, more than outstanding dollars?
As far as the payer source,
yeah.
It's patient pay, obviously. The patient pay, it, you know, it's you send somebody a bill and you're hoping they pay, and but you really don't have really much enforcement behind it.
Because when we close our books, and you know, at the end of our fiscal year, right, which is in June 30th. In June 30th. So is that a period that we should be concerned about? Is that a typical period?
That's, yeah.
Nothing simple.
Nothing. But by June 30th of the year, we'll collect 95% to 97% of what we bill out on Medicare. We'll collect 100% of what we send out on Medicaid because it's guaranteed now. And we'll collect 80% because most insurance policies are 80-20s. So we'll collect 75% to 80% on insurance. And on patient pay, we'll collect 10% to 15%.
So you're right. At those kind of numbers, it really is just what's going in.
Like this, it's, we look at it as a company. We're now billing with, or I think, 63 companies now, counties, and we look at it on every one. If the call volume is down at the end, 30, 60, 90 days, like you said, the volume of revenue will be down. It's just strictly a numbers game when it comes to pay through.
When we started with you, the first year, John, we were looking for potential 72 kind of percentage.
Yeah.
And I think we now exceeded that.
We were 76 last year.
Right. Yeah. Pretty good.
How do we get above 80? We've done some things internally as a company to improve. And one thing we always have that we've been working on is trying to find sources of payments. You know, the crew gets the information. We're interacting with the hospital. But, you know, the worst thing you can do is 6 months from now, you're sending a patient a bill and say, well, I have Blue Cross Blue Shield. And all you've done is build your AR for those 6 months. So what we've invested about $100,000 in actual revenue by a program that allows us to collect, I think there's 275 insurance companies on there in all 50 states. I know there's people who may come from Virginia now for, you know, for a hunting trip or something or for vacation. So now we're immediately, the second we get a call in, if it doesn't come in with a payment source, we can go directly to our database that's worked through this third-party company. And if I have a social security number, I can find a payment source. So we're hoping that's going to eliminate the patient pay. We want things pushed to Medicare, Medicaid, insurance, not relying on people to send us.
Now, that 4% may sound small, but we can push that 76-80%.
Absolutely.
And again, when I look at the 76% collection rate, correct?
Correct.
For the year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we've got to offset 24% somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where I want to balance out. That's what I like to look at about the quarter. Williams, just making sense? Okay, so when we see what the collections are versus this,
and what we're missing out on the 24%.
Okay. And we'll have that information to them by the end of the week so they can share that with the commissioners.
Okay.
Any other questions for me? Strike
it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Dave, first, we'll say happy you're young men.
I appreciate it.
Figuring the test. I think artifact.
I had double bypass or
We spoke here a couple months ago, I think, and was in the hospital. And God bless you. We're happy you're back safe.
So today's my first day back to work for my medical leave. If I had to be here, I'll slap you for the county. It's always nice to be here. So
getting drilled by the commissioner.
As the lady here was talking about economic development, I'd love to see some new restaurants in town, too.
Amen.
Ellis has got a wonderful menu on Monday night. So, yeah.
Sounds good. So, thank you very much.
I'm going to the high school.
Check that out. So, I hope y'all have a wonderful Christmas. And as always, if y'all ever need us, we're always available. So, Merry Christmas to everyone here.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on. Mr. William. William Mark Robinson, as far as finance director, is going to come up with 2022 financial summary.
If you said it, I just see I forgot to change my name to the top of the sheet.
Is that right?
Like last month when we done our sheet here, this is through the month of October. I didn't go through November because it takes me about 15 days in the month to finally close the year after month out. A couple things I would like to bring to your attention. One is down elections. We think that 4 months we should be around 34%. If you look at election, it showed 57.7. One of the biggest keys there is we finished paying in this year the rest of the money for the equipment, which was a one-shot deal. So those that percentage will start going down as we continue going into the year. Another one I want to bring to your attention is down at total debt service. It looks like year to date is like 44.5%, which looks extremely high. But that's a timing issue. Last year, November the 1st occurred on the weekend, and all my payments got posted on November the 2nd, which was in the month of November. This year, my payments got posted in October. So next month, that number will come more in line to what the previous year was. And it's just a matter of a timing issue on when the payment was posted. The bottom line is, again, you would expect expenditures to be around 34% for 4 months, and we're looking at total at 27.3. So it looks like bottom line, our expenditures are below what we would expect to be this time of the year.
We're running about 7% of debt right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one.
And I know if you go up and look at revenue, you take that same 34% and look at the 16.7, that looks way off. But compared to last year, it's 15.7. And a lot of that has to do with the delay that we have in getting certain revenue in, such as sales tax and stuff like that, which runs about 3 months behind.
All right, let me ask you a question real quick. Cash on hand, as of September 30th, we had $5,263,265.76. October 31st, we're 2021, we're at $4.8 million, roughly.
Yeah, I see the 4.8. What did you?
Sheet you gave us last month, September.
Well, when you consider that we bring in $5 billion and we're paying out $8 billion, my revenue, my cash is going to go down a little bit, especially until I get into the period when I start receiving that real tax again, which is usually November, December, January.
Okay. So you're going back up.
You should go back up.
Yeah.
Prior year,
almost 1.7 million.
Right.
Well, exactly. We were $3,177,000 September 3rd, 2020. So,
on the back, I just want to point out something on the back. I got reimbursable products. Tall glass and water is a project we've been working on, and Robin submits reimbursement periodically. We're At this moment, there's like 31,000 spent that she will be submitting for reimbursement. DRA 17, I have sent an email in asking what the status is on us getting this money. I have not received a confirmation back yet on that. And the library co-op extension, that's the final version that we're working on getting the paperwork completed so we can close that project out. So that should receive the rest of that money within another month.
That's agreed with glasses. Where's the library?
It's the very last one.
$292,000.
Yes.
For the library.
Right. And we can't get there until we finish all the money, all the paperwork to close the project.
And again, for the general public, they had to come save the paperwork.
Right. It came out of cash. Yeah, cash. I basically don't have anything else I'd like to point out. I'd like to thank you for seeing the answer.
All right, well, you got the total revenues for October. You got $261,000, correct?
Approved registered deeds report, October 2021.
Approve registers deeds, fee report, November 2021. Motion please.
Make a motion to approve.
Got first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Next one's gonna be approved bonds held for Bird T County officials. Mr. Manager, you want to explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yes. On our December meeting, though, we usually ask the board to approve the bonds for our Bird T County officials, which include the tax collector, the sheriff, register deeds, and our finance director. And so this is just pretty much verifying that they are bonded.
Okay. Bonding is basically insurance. Liability insurance is covered in all the departments, maybe, correct?
Yes, sir.
So that includes the notification for us. Have a charge.
Then, no, this is bonds.
That's bonds.
This is not a bond. That's just handled separate.
Okay. Item 7 is going to be approved appointment of Fire Chief Harris Williams to Lewiston Woodville Volunteer Fire Department Relief Board.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, you can all approve bonds by voting aye and approve.
I think that motion, so we'll get it over here just to make sure. Count motion before we're on the bond. Move to approve. Mr. President, first and second, Mr. Brunson. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll move next to approve appointment of Fire Chief Harris Williams to Lewiston Woodville Volunteer Fire Department Relief Board.
Yes, so we were contacted by the president of the Lewiston Woodville Volunteer Fire Department, President Bates, and he has requested, says, due to board member Charles Keebon dying during this past year, the Wilson Woodville Volunteer Fire Department would like to have his spot or receipt replaced by Fire Chief Harris Williams. So, for board approval, we will make sure that let him know that we're doing that. Yes.
Okay. Have a motion,
I'll make a motion. We appoint, approve Fire Chief William Harris.
Commissioner Williams, second, Mr. Bronson. All in favor?
Aye.
Approve water system assets inventory report.
That is what Mr. Parker Green Engineering was going to present tonight, but he was unable to attend, so this will be put on January's meeting.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Approve national opioid distributor settlement participation form. Mr. Attorney, I think that's back to you.
Yes, sir.
I see how you did that.
Mr. Huddleston sent y'all an email, and I brought copies in case you wanted it. Basically, what it boils down to is this is the settlement of one of the four cases, and it works out where Berkey County, over the next 18 years, will average about $50,000 a year. It's weighted, so it's not the same amount every year. But it's a total of $889,112.17.
But $18,000 a year for 50 years, correct?
No, sir. It's approximately 50,000, about 47,800 for 18.
For 18 years.
And is that 18 or 19?
It's 18
years. 18
years. Did we ever get it worked out as far as there was an issue? And I remember Jonathan talking about it, and I brought something up as far as the. On the national level, I think the national attorneys were happy with what their payoff was, and could they come back and sue the counties to be reimbursed by what they were not being reimbursed by the settlement?
Yes, sir. My understanding was that was resolved.
That was resolved.
Yes, sir.
So we don't need to expect a lawsuit from the national law attorney for us again.
I would joyously defend that lawsuit.
Thank you, sir. And I think joy is that makes no joke.
I don't know, frankly. You realize when you're talking about the state is getting, you know, just enormous. This one state is getting an enormous amount of money. I appreciate all the attorneys' hard work, but if they're getting percentage $26 billion.
It was a gross amount of money they were getting. They were fighting over hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it's just insane, honestly. I wouldn't mind telling them that.
Okay.
There's sometimes how much is too much? Well, that would be too much.
It would be too much.
Let me also tell you, I think that our state association represented county did very well.
Yes.
And they did a really good job.
Yeah, very good job.
So I would recommend that you go ahead and approve this documents, put it in motion.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve.
Second.
We have first and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is going to be approved fire protection service district technical assistance agreement.
Chair, previously the board gave us permission to move forward with approving or obtaining fire protection service district technical assistance, and that will be with Greg Grayson when it comes to exploring the how we will fund fire departments in the future. And we discussed the next step being having technical assistance from Greg Grayson to determine exactly, to help us in that process. And once everything is brought together, the board will determine if that is the route, the fire service district is the route that we want to go. So we had, there was an approximation of about this costing $8,000. Since that time, it has gone up a little bit. This agreement outlines it costing up to $11,000. And there are also a couple of things that our attorney Paulson has requested to be updated in this agreement that they have not addressed just yet. So it's my recommendation that you give me the authorization to have those, to make sure those things are added to the contract if you all approve the up to amount, up to $11,000.
Do we know what caused that increase in their estimate?
A couple of things that caused it was travel and per diem. That contributed to it. And I said that was the total difference in the $3,000. I'm not sure if David is on the call, but he was involved with working on with the scope of this agreement.
You think that's working? I mean, that's a sizable increase.
Well, I think we'll find out exactly. Again, those are just two things that I know right off the top, but I'm not saying that's all inclusive of everything that we know that's included in there. But
I mean, overall amount is certainly worth it, but you know, when they
get so
one estimate price, then it goes up around
26%.
Well, just want to make sure that we understand the reasoning behind that.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think in January we're going to try to set up some work sessions. Okay, maybe we can table this until January.
Okay.
And we'll decide that as far as the dates of support sessions in January, and then we'll review this thing again. It's been several months since he's been there.
Yes, it has. When he left, the directive was for an agreement to be put together and then it would come back before the board. But if you would like to discuss it further at a work session in January, we absolutely can do that.
About this, because this is like a 26% increase above what we expected. We need to review it, look at it, or not?
I would. My personal opinion, I'd like to see the manager and the manager take a look at it to assure us, right, that it's not a reasonable increase, right, and we understand the nature of it. But if there's any question about that, then I think it should come to us. I mean, either way. But if it's reasonable and you feel like the increase is warranted, then I would want to delay it if we didn't have to.
I think the county manager can make that call. I mean, if he's comfortable with it. He has shown
within the penny, so we're gonna that's
you know, I think
we need to get this moving. The fire chiefs in the county are waiting on us.
Okay,
yes.
Then we're gonna go ahead and make a motion tonight. Is that correct? Do you want to hear back from the county manager? I'm here to
I guess we can do this, I'll make a motion dependent upon what the county manager wants. Can we do that?
Well, I think contingent motion is not a motion.
Okay.
I realize everyone's in a hurry here.
Well,
can we get the cabinet if they are
tardy, but I can tell you this, it's December, and my experience dealing with other firms is legal stuff slows to the total crawl. I know exactly what Mr. Hull's major objections this contract is. One is they're refusing to accept any liability if they do anything wrong. We will agree to that. And the other is the attorney fees provision, which we will agree to. So,
okay. No, I
drastic.
That brings us back to what I said before. We're going to have a work session in January, set it up with the body. We need to bring it back for the whole board to go over there.
Okay. And we've sent the language to them. Jonathan has done that. We'll wait to hear back. But those are two. It's a small contract, but it's just more fun.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and just to be clear, because absolutely, we were not going to move forward if they did not agree to that. So, if they do agree to it, you still want to hold off
until. I still want to go over to January work session. Well, that way, we'll be all brought up to speed at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Make motions to go from there to the town. We're going to do anything between now and January.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Other items discussion agenda today is going to be.
Sure. I'm sorry for interrupting. I didn't know if you did it intentionally or not, but. C6, so approved budget amendments, and we do have some that need to be approved.
Oh, we missed it? Okay.
Yeah.
Jim? Okay.
In your packet is a 2202 budget amendment, which basically talks about senior center general purpose money, which I voted on 10-4-21, and then we got notifications that the rollout money is coming through, which is in the but on Friday, I also got another one, so I would like to amend my approval to put in 2203. I want to add this one because I received this Friday from DSS and the team where they're receiving some money. For low income home water assistance program. So we're getting $58,711. And I would like for him to get this put in here so I can give it to the assistance so they can start using them. So this was my addition on the head to that.
We still, just on the side of it, do we have any water customers that are still with the payment plan from like that?
I can't say that for sure. I don't think so. You know, the moratorium, the moratorium and all that is definitely off.
Right.
You know, we can't cut them off. So shutoffs have happened since that time. The payment plan, I would have to check with the
contact. My request is for 2202 and 2203 to be approved.
Okay. Motion.
Second.
First and second?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. EMS staffing update and approval of covenants of trailer campers to Haywood County. You want to handle that, Mr. Cooper?
I'm going to handle it.
Okay.
Director Cooper is unavailable this evening. And Anna is unavailable due to a family death in his family. So he wanted me to be sure that I inform the board and the public that since our last meeting, we have hired 4 new full-time employees and 2 part-time employees. Additionally, we've seen 3 of our current part-time employees increase their availability, which is helping out quite a bit. So our shortages have, that percentage has increased for sure. The other item is trailer campers to Haywood County. The United Methodist Men are in the process of helping Haywood County. From what I understand, I believe it was flash flooding or something. And so we have some trailer campers that they have requested to help them in their time with this disaster. So upon the board's approval, we will ensure that those trailer campers are conveyed to Haywood County.
You want a motion?
If I have to have a motion for that, yes.
I make a motion. We help Haywood County with our trailers. How many?
4.
4. And allow them to take possession.
Okay. First, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
One more thing, excuse me. It's not here. We don't have any people who still have intelligence. What did I think last month, number 6, which I thought, we knew a couple of
I'm pretty sure it's less than 6,
yeah.
But I thought we were
near resolution.
Correct. We provide get an update on that for our next meeting. I can tell you for sure. But yes, it should be fewer than 6 at this time.
What I think, one other point is that the good news you told us about hiring, because the miracle we approved in terms of our
expectation around those increases, right? Mm-hmm. Is this is what we were hoping for, because that better than balances the numbers on the positive side, the return for the money that we were spending, right? So getting these folks hired is really almost like a head pitch. It's a big deal.
We need a response to what we did.
Serious money. Yeah. And that response saves them. That's the deal.
That's right. Yep. Overtime should increase.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
Anything else? All right, DOT petition for road addition of Bond Lane.
We received this request or petition for our road addition to be added to DOT's maintain highways from citizens again who live on Bond Lane. And the process is that the property owners would bring the petition to us as they have. And take the formality, but the Board of Commissions would approve it, and then we forward it to DOT, and DOT makes a determination as to whether or not that road meets the standards for it to be an actual DOT maintained road.
That's the road that runs in front of the beach market, is that?
No, the one out on Highway 17 going out towards Williamston Cube, where accept this motion and pass it on to UNCDOT for other advancement.
Second.
Is
there any opposition to it that you're aware of?
No, sir. Not that I'm aware. No, sir.
I know that's not. Thank you. But truly hoping that we do move this along. My district's not going to work.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Robinson. Second by Commissioner Wesson. All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, we've got a closed session, sir.
Yes, sir. We're
going to do the other reports first.
Okay. All right. Have a motion to go to closed session. General Statute 143318-118, subsection 5. And next one, 143-318-118, subsection 6.
So moved.
Second. First. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. All right. Commissioner's report.
Rob. Wishing everybody safe and a happy Merry Christmas.
Yes, so just got an email and I had heard it while I was in Atlanta. There is a bill, House Bill 5735, and I'll send the information to the county manager. That would give us more flexibility on these ARPA funds. It has passed the Senate, but still needs to pass the House. So that would be tremendous for all the counties, but it would certainly help us too with the next round of money that's coming. They felt pretty confident that it was going to pass, but
about the additions and expansion.
Just that the reporting procedures would be different if you could count up to $10 million as revenue loss, which would be, our whole thing. Anyways, mainly reporting and just a lot more flexibility on how to spend them, how you can spend those funds. So, if you got some phone calls you could make to House members, it needs to pass the House. So, like I said, in interest of time, I won't go into a lot of great detail, but I did go to the new Black Wall Street market, and it was all African-American entrepreneurs in there. It was great. I could so envision something like that, even though, we're not Atlanta, but I could envision something on a smaller scale in Bertie County, maybe at the old IGA building or something along those lines. anyways, it was extremely fascinating to see and to talk to some of the shop owners. They rent spaces in that building. And anyways, the gentleman that started that whole project is an extremely wealthy African-American gentleman. And we just need someone like him that wants to invest in Bertie County. I was thinking Mr. Ward, maybe. And I know we're back in open session, but you know, he certainly has plenty of money. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, sir. Mr. Atkins, two things. Just announced today that Toyota is opening, it's going to build a new battery manufacturer in Greensboro, North Carolina, about 1,750 new jobs, and they're going to expand over the years to be a significant largest investment in North Carolina.
But it's electric batteries.
Electric batteries, yeah. Which is where the market is.
Yeah.
So that's good. The other thing is, just real quick on the ARP. One of the things that has been expressed in our last meeting of the Minis Commission is that municipalities and the counties are going to be the amount of resources it's going to take to likely have to respond to the spend around $80. It's going to be significant paperwork, challenge, amount of time committed, commitment. And in most municipalities who got money, not just Windsor, but even smaller ones like Powellville, don't have the manpower in order to handle this paperwork. And everybody's paying from Beargrass to Powellsville to anybody got this fund. The paperwork is gigantic. Right? And what are we going to do about it? That's a major concern you're going to start hearing. And that's why I asked if what's going to address that, because it's going to be crazy.
Is Minnie's thinking of taking that challenge on?
We have made a request that COGS are the perfect place to add the resources to be able to assist municipalities as well as counties, right, with the expertise. Because counties can't afford to bring on that kind of personnel.
Well, I mean, you can use your ARPA money to hire someone to do that for you.
Yes. We'll see. But
yes.
Then you're not spending. Where it needs to be spent.
But that's, you can't use it for that purpose.
It's going to cost you a lot.
Yeah.
Why not have the
cards?
Right,
I agree. The cards and the training. All right, next thing is that I want to look at Forest work session, how do we look for the 11th and the 12th of January? Everybody good? Is that regular?
Yes. Why not the third, like the first?
No, you may work.
I think because we were coming off, are we even, because of that first holiday.
But if we approved it for the 10th, I guess it's approved.
Because of New Year's, right? And we approved it to the second, one.
Correct. Yes, sir.
And that's the 6 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Somebody thinks it's a once a month job. They're sadly mistaken.
You'll bump back the other 2 days to the following day, Wednesday, Thursday, instead of Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well,
yeah. Enter those two, yeah. No, that'll be my airport meeting. If we have one. Look like this.
Look like
this. Maybe that night on the 10th.
Can you repeat that, Chair? Sure, make sure we got that.
Tuesday, the 11th. 12th, 9 a.m.
January 10th, 4, 6, 6.
Yeah. Together, the agenda. Discuss. Got that? Okay. Public comments. Can I manage you anything?
No, of course not.
Okay. I actually do.
Oh my God.
The spirit of Christmas. People like this. The judgment was entered against us. They get cheery award the faith to fix his roads. November 29th, Judge Grant served on him on December 1st. So he has until January 16th, 2022 to fix it.
And did you alter the.
I did not. Suck that. So then we can go in and do it to the lien of his property.
Okay.
Second is his property would be having service and thoughtless my local journey. I've spoken to him. Mitch is not able to verify this, but I have no reason to doubt it on his journey. He's bought properties, already fixed one of the roads, and Mitch has proved it. He says he would have the others fixed before the end of January. So it's all
about. Oh, okay. Sounds good. So the judge
is up. Yes.
Fantastic.
Well, yes. I mean, but he still has the option of taking us to court on it.
No, he doesn't.
No.
It's too late. I guess if it appeals to North Carolina Court of Appeals, people would.
Stand vindicated.
Okay, public comments. Any public comments?
Y'all were right. You were right. I know every man wants to hear those words.
No, I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying as much.
You got the right judge.
We may not get some lucky next time.
Excuse me. Can we, LaShonda, is there any more? Are there any public comments?
No public comments at this time.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.